We are in a preaching series at the moment called Knowing Jesus. Over the last 2 weeks, God has spoken really clearly and consistently through the scripture on the subject of compassion. So I don't want to rush on from that concept of compassion. And I want to start off by just reminding ourselves of that key question of how is our compassion? It's been wonderful this week to hear stories of people moved by compassion to action. There's been countless stories this week, and we can't go into them at all because some of them are quite personal, but there's been wonderful acts where people have been moved by compassion and stirred to action to help people who need help. It's been truly beautiful. And so I just, again, want to encourage us to consider that. How are our compassion levels? How are our compassion levels for the people in our own home? That can be a challenge. How are compassion levels for our wider family, for the church family? How are your compassion levels for the people you work with and your neighbours? How are your compassion levels for people who are different from you and see things in a very different way and have a very different lifestyle and make different choices to you? How are your compassion levels for all people? As you keep pondering on that, I'd love to ask us another quick question today that will be relevant when we get into the scripture. How are your rest levels at the moment? How are your levels of rest at the moment? This is going to be a time where we're going to get into the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles with you, open them into the Gospel of Mark. We're picking it up in Mark 2. And the scripture we're going to be looking at to start with is Mark 2, 23 to 28. And then we're going to dip into Mark 3 as well. And these themes of compassion and rest are going to come through in everything we're going to look at today. Let me just pray as we dive into the scripture. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you that your blessings are new every morning. We thank you for your compassion for us. Holy Spirit, would you break us more, make us more compassionate for others? And Lord God, give us wisdom to know when to rest and when to stop and slow down. Let us do all this for your glory, King Jesus. Amen. Amen. So let me just dive in and read the first verse here. That is Mark 2:23 says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. Pause for a quick moment of reflection. What's happening in your mind's eye as you listen to that or read that verse? What's the image that you get? For me, I get just a really beautiful relational image of Jesus walking with his disciples through grain fields. If they're picking off grain, it must be summer because that's when the grain heads are up. So think on that. What would it be like walking through the fields with Jesus and a bunch of your close friends, just picking off bits of grain to eat? To me, that seemed like a really beautiful relational picture. We go on. Verse 24, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? The Pharisees are seeing something different than what I'm seeing when I look at that picture. They are seeing something of God's command being broken. And it's helpful for us to understand what is their reference point. So we'll look at their reference point. Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15 says this. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. That's an incredible piece of scripture, isn't it? There is loads in there. And what the Pharisees are seeing is the command of God, which is very clear, to rest and do no work on the Sabbath. This is a clear command that they are seeing. It's really good for us to also ask, though, what's the purpose and the point behind the command? What do we think the purpose and the point of Sabbath is? And this scripture is super duper helpful because it tells us exactly what the purpose and the point of Sabbath is. It's it's very clear, isn't it? It says you are to rest from your work. And this is great, isn't it? Because this is not talking about idleness. This is not talking about laziness. I'm not affirming just putting you down in tools and doing nothing. I encourage hard work, but I'm also encouraging from the scripture godly rest. Why? We rest from our work. What else does it say? We remember what the Lord did. We remember with thanksgiving. That's the point of Sabbath. We rest. We stop our normal routines, our normal responsibilities and jobs. We rest, but we're not idle. What we do is we actively remember the goodness of God. We actively remember what he has done for us. More than that, it says so brilliantly, remember, it's talking to the people of Israel, you were slaves. Why is that so relevant? Slaves don't get the day off. Do you see the beauty in that? God is saying, I want you to rest every day, every week, because you're no longer slaves. That's not who you are anymore. This is such a beautiful image and thing for us to get our heads around. Sabbath is beautiful. What it is saying is God knows us. He knows that we need to rest. So he builds it into the law very clearly. But he tells us why. It's not just a command that needs to be burdensome to us. It's to bring life. It's to enable us to rest and not be idle, but to rest and remember with thanksgiving all he has done for us. And remember that we were slaves. We are no longer slaves. Slaves don't get the day off. Sons and daughters do. And this reminds me so strongly of the verse in Romans 8, a couple of verses, Romans 8, 14 to 16. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit, we are God's children. I really felt a weight of this week as we consider the issue of Sabbath. We know that it's good to rest. That's not a brand new concept I'm bringing anyone. It's good for us to have regular rest. If we don't have regular rest, we crash and burn, don't we? And we'll get into that a little bit in a minute. We know that rest is good, and yet we just keep going, don't we? You speak to people, how are you doing? Oh, I'm so busy. Oh, I haven't stopped. But we know that rest is good. God gave us the gift of Sabbath to remember with thanksgiving what he has done for us. We were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to darkness and death. We are no longer, if you're in Christ, you're no longer a slave to darkness and death and sin. You are free. You're a son and a daughter. And so I really want us to ponder on that. Many of us will think, yeah, I understand the concept of Sabbath. It's good. God gave it to us. It's good for us to rest. We understand that. But do we really deep that to that level of remembering that we were slaves? And that's not who we are. We're not to work like slaves, which leads to burnout. Jesus goes on to make the following points. Verse 25, he answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and he ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Jesus reminds them of a time when David was on the run in fear for his life from King Saul. He has no food, no weapons, no means to feed himself or defend himself. And what he does is David goes and he does something that brings life and not death. And Jesus is reminding us of this concept of David doing something that was seemingly breaking the law, but brought life and not death. Jesus goes on in verse 27, says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. I love this. Jesus is schooling these guys. He's like, you don't know who you're talking to, guys. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I made the Sabbath. Everything that has been created through me. I know how the Sabbath works. I know what is good on the Sabbath and what is not good on the Sabbath. And we'll go on to see more of that in a little while. It's so beautiful, the concept of Sabbath and rest and remembering what God has done. It's so powerful, and it brings so much life and restoration to us. Is anyone in need of a bit of restoration today? Is anyone in need of a bit more life? You know, you can't have restoration without rest. I'm going to tell these guys because you didn't respond too much. You can't have restoration without rest. Amen. One amen, two amen, excellent. It's simple, but it's true. Guys, we have to, right? We can't just keep going on the hamster wheel forever. What happens when we do that? How are your rhythms of rest at the moment? How are your rhythms? Do you have work, rest, and play involved in your normal rhythms? How is your rhythm of rest at the moment? What's the impact when you get out of kilter on that? What happens when it's all work and no play? And there's no relaxing and there's no resting. What happens to us? We get very grumpy. Thank you, Tony. That is one. Bless you for your honesty. Tony says he gets very grumpy. But so true, isn't it? We feel taken for granted, that leads to grumpiness. We feel like a servant. We feel like a slave. Even though we're not slaves anymore, we can often feel like we're a servant. We're taken for granted. People don't appreciate us. We get grumpy. What can that lead to? Drawing back from people. It can impact our relationships, all around our work relationships. We get really fed up when people aren't doing it right, and we have to come and get it done, and no one can do it, and I'm the only one who can do this one properly. Anyone experienced any of that before? Yeah. One to clock and watch out for. What does that say? It's difficult, isn't it? This thing of, it's good for us to work hard, and I advocate for us working hard, doing everything that we do for the glory of God. We should work hard and work well in all situations. But the danger is when we don't rest and we don't take time and thank God for who he is and what he's done for us, we get grumpy. Things start getting a bit wobbly. And actually, long term, what it means is people have breakdowns. You know, God is so good in his design of the human body. Right, we can cope with stress. As part of day-to-day normal life, stress is part of normal life. Sorry to break it to you guys, if you didn't know that, stress is part of everyday life. We are equipped by God to deal with stress, and we can deal with it pretty well. But what happens is we're designed to deal with it like spikes. So there should be a spike, something happens, we're equipped to deal with that, and then really what we need to happen is that to ease over time and for us to normalize a little bit. And life is a bit like that, isn't it? Lots of ups and downs. We can deal with spikes as long as we're getting a bit of downtime. What the problem is when we get spikes that aren't spikes, that are a new plateau of stress, we're not designed to deal with that for long periods of time. What happens is early signs are grumpiness. It goes way, way worse than that. It gets way worse. You know, when we hit things like breakdowns and we just can't do anything at all because we haven't taken rest, because we've had the attitude, well, no one can do it, so I've got to do this, and we keep in that level. Sometimes that's relevant and good. We keep in that zone of I'm the only one who can do this. That equals breakdown. And then what happens in breakdown is the stuff doesn't get done anyway, and worse than that, you take a long time to recover. Some people don't recover from breakdowns when they've just been running at high levels without a break. We've got to build in godly rhythms of rest. It's important that we understand the beauty and the gift of rest. The impact of not resting is loss of spiritual perspective,